Welcome to Pipeline Meeting, where marketers come to talk about sales. I'm your host, Harris Kenny, and I'll be joined by a guest every Monday and Wednesday for brief 15-minute interviews where we'll share tips that you can apply to support your sales team and help them close more deals. If you don't have time to listen to this whole episode, you can skip ahead in the show notes in your podcast player or find the transcript at introcrm.com/podcast. All the episodes are published there.
We are a vertical SaaS company focused on the consumer finance industry, and we are bringing technology to these very highly regulated companies, all the way from banks and lenders, debt buyers, auto finance companies, and even collection agencies who are very highly regulated, have to meet compliance standards. And we are bringing technology to help them record their phone calls, to have 100% QA quality assurance compliance, to automate notes from these very regulated conversations they're having. And then even we just launched a product called Pro Assist that gives real-time agent coaching while they're on the phone so they can be more empathetic and ultimately, you know, generate more revenue or be more effective in their servicing. The awesome thing about our tools, all three of these products though, is that they're learning and getting better and better over time. And because we're exclusively focused on the consumer finance vertical, is that we know some of these nuanced things with things like bankruptcy or other areas that maybe other products won't know if they're just like doing this for airlines or something else. Before I started, it was really important that I did some prep. By talking to people, they said, oh, you definitely need to have this book, The First 90 Days. And there's another book, Leader's 100-Day Action Plan. And so I got those, skimmed through those. But believe it or not, the framework I'm actually using is from Gartner. They have something called the CMO's First 100 Days. And they have it in 5 stages: prepare, assess, plan, act, and measure. Prepare, it's actually even before you start. Then assess is really about talking to your team. I talked to customers as well. I talked to a lot of customers. And it was not just specifically about our products, but it was really more strategically about the challenges they're facing in their industry. And then I also talked to many of my cross-functional partners. As much as you want to jump in and start doing things, it's really important to do that assessment. For sure, there are quick wins that had to happen and did happen early on, but really kind of putting all this stuff together so you can build out an effective plan. One other last piece I wanted to add too is that we are a fully remote team. And so, you know, our headquarters are in California. I've been out there twice to meet with people, including my boss, who's the CEO, but others were out there as well. And then I even held a marketing offsite where the marketing team got together. So that was really important in this remote environment.
Where did you do the offsite?
I actually had them come to Columbus, Ohio, where I'm based, because I was flying out to California later that week. So it worked out well, got my team's input into the plan that I had developed. It's just amazing what those in-person meetings do to help generate camaraderie and have us be even a more effective team, even early on.
Can you tell me about leading that team of 5 marketers and what's the breakdown of responsibilities across the team in terms of just generally speaking, the hats that they wear?
So that was one of the things that attracted me about this role specifically as well. We are a venture-funded startup, and the fact that there's already 5 marketers on the team shows me that they invest in the marketing function. So I've got 5 team members. First is a product marketer, really responsible for working directly with product, and then how do we bring these new product launches to market? Secondly, we have a content marketing manager. She's really responsible for building a lot of our content, like white papers and case studies and even a blog that we have. We're trying to build up some more thought leadership in the space, which takes time, is a longer game, but she's really done a lot of that. Third, we've got a growth marketer or demand gen marketing manager, whatever you want to call it these days. I kind of think about that role as they take the content that was developed and figure out the best way to distribute that digitally. What's the most effective way to reach our target audience? Fourth, I've got a designer. So the team had realized, hey, we were spending a lot of money and time externally using a freelancer. And so they wanted to bring someone on full time. That's been wonderful to have. Last but not least, we've got our event marketing manager. And she's a community manager. With an early stage SaaS company, I'll start with the community manager. We know it's really, really important to be talking to our customers, making sure that they're engaged and they're happy so we can retain them. We're going to be doing more with that customer slash community marketing with her. And then events, with our industry, we know it's really important to go and be at events. And thankfully, they're back in person. We've invested a lot so far to date this year in events. And we don't even have an agency to do all of that, like getting our booth there and registering and planning all the side events. So she does all of that for us here.
You're in this regulated industry. So I feel like having a stable in-house team that understands the nuances of what you can say and what you can't, I feel like that is going to allow you to move a lot faster versus agencies. And you're going back and forth with the red lines about, oh, we can't say this, we can't say that, we couldn't advertise there. Is that right? Is my perception correct that having that in-house is helpful?
I've come from a lot of very highly regulated industries, from healthcare and insurance and nutrition. I would say that's not really the number one reason why we're doing that. I think it's really to, you do have more experts. My viewpoint is there's certainly great benefits for having in-house team. There's also great benefits to using agencies. And the more specific the agencies are, the more specialized the agencies are, the better. That's where my head is at these days. And so really where I'm at too is assessing what the team is doing, assessing our capacity, but then where are those opportunities for us to get even like more current perspective or fresher perspective, or, hey, who's this SEO expert? How do we get them? We've generated and built a lot of really good content, but how do we get more of our target audience's eyeballs on this thing through organic, right? Instead of having to do all this paid, what's that better mix we can balance using those agencies?
How do you feel about L&D for the team? Is that something that was in place? Have you invested in any programs or talked to the team if they want to do any professional development for marketing specific stuff outside of maybe corporate training?
Great question. I think in startups, sometimes we don't always, you know, have that at the top of the roster, but I think that's something that's really important. It's something that I think about as leading a team. And some of my team members don't have a ton of work experience. And so I found it really important to always be learning. I especially think it's important in marketing. And so we don't have a specific, hey, L&D or learning and development bucket of money, but you know, where there are opportunities. And so that's something like we've talked about, books that we, you know, read, and which books are you finding value from, or what did you get from this?
How does your marketing team interact with the sales team? And what does sales enablement look like at Prodigal in terms of how the company goes to market?
Yeah. So we work really, really closely with the sales team. And in fact, when I started, you know, as I talked to the head of sales, I was like, hey, as much as you guys are tied to revenue, we in marketing, all of us are tied to revenue. And so that's one of the things I brought in early, is just helping my team understand too, that we are here to bring in qualified leads to sales so they can book revenue. So it's not a quantity game, it's quality, right? We need the best leads over to them. And so we work really closely with them, helping them, you know, figuring out, hey, what do they need? And in fact, one of the early wins was a one-sheeter on customer onboarding. Once we have someone who signs an account, you know, what do they have to share with them? And it was actually a very much a cross-functional effort, but we're really working with them all the time to understand what they need. We have SDRs, but you know, marketing is responsible for creating a lot of that content to make sure sales has that content that's put in front of prospects along the journey.
So you see onboarding as bridging marketing and sales all the way through customer success then?
Yeah.
Not just, we closed the, you know, we generated the lead, sales closed it, you know, throw it over the fence, not our problem.
100%. Like, we need to be part of that whole journey. In SaaS, it's really important to say, hey, once we sign a new customer, it's new revenue, but we really need to retain them. And that's why we're actually doing some efforts around, you know, customer marketing. How do you upsell them? How do you retain them? How do you eventually make them advocates? That is the holy grail as well, because we know things like social proof and them hearing from other customers, hey, this really is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You really need to check this out. Having another customer say that is way more powerful than any marketing we can do straight from our mouths. So we're really investing in that. I think it's a big opportunity.
What has the response been from the other like department leads or heads? Have they been excited that marketing is seeing that as part of the life cycle, or are they like, hey, get out of my business, this is my sandbox? Because I feel like some marketers are afraid to dip into these other adjacent areas because maybe it's not their job, or there's not a clear line in the org chart where they would have responsibility there. But it seems like it's adding a lot of value for what you're doing. So I'm curious how people respond to that.
I'll give credit to my new CEO. I mean, he's the one who said, hey, you've got to talk to customers. As we think about, hey, keeping and retaining those customers, that's something that's back to the revenue at the end of the day. We are on a rocket ship. We've got huge goals. And so that's one way where we can help get there faster. So far, people understand that that's something we need to do. And then it's not just, you know, us doing something on an island, but then communicating too with our customer success partners. Hey, this is our plan. We want to work in partnership with you guys. Here are some areas of opportunity. You know, how do we get more G2 reviews, right? People still look at software sites. And so how do we work with you guys to get more of our customers to give us G2 reviews, like very tactically? But we're finding some good success early on so far with that.
Do y'all do like OKRs or some equivalent measurement for the teams so that the different managers are talking the same language? Or is each department responsible for setting their own sort of unique ways of measuring how they're doing?
So far, we're all kind of doing our own thing. And that's one of the things I did early on, though, is just from a marketing standpoint, you know, what is the dashboard we have? What are our targets? Establishing what those targets should be and then sharing them with sales. And so I kind of did a bottoms up, and then sales is like, hey, based on this, you know, you need this. Now it's like, we're trying to figure out that gap and how we accelerate some of our marketing. Those are just kind of baseline, really, really important things to do early on, but just kind of getting a lay of the land and then figuring out, okay, how do we go from here to there? And then next year from here to there, like keep making those jumps, because in SaaS, we know too, like what got you here won't get you there. And so you have to always be evolving and learning quickly. Testing and learning quickly is also really, really important.
Yeah, that's great. Where did you find this Gartner book? It seems like you're off to the races here. Was it just on their website? Is it on Amazon bookstore? How did you decide to dig into this? And where did you find it in the first place, if someone wants to read it?
I find a lot of my great tools from some of the communities I'm in with marketers. I think this one particularly came from Pavilion. They've got a Slack community, or they've got classes as well. And then I'm also part of Sixth Sense. They've got a CMO community, and you can kind of go there for any resources. Those are kind of my two go-to places. I'm guessing this one came from Pavilion, and it was so good. You know, when something is so good, you actually print it out. Like I have it printed out. So yeah, that's where, you know, I like frameworks. I feel like some of the stuff from first 90 days it's not new. It's kind of antiquated a little bit. SaaS companies are different. I grew up in big companies, spent a lot of time working for very big companies. Like things move slower. Here, you got to do a lot more things in a short amount of time. It's a different timeline. And for someone like me who loves to move fast, is impatient, and is hungry, I think it's a good place for me. And hopefully, my team feels the same way, because I think we got an amazing team, an amazing, you know, group of people here at the company, really, really trying and striving and deep down wanting to make a big difference for these folks who, you know, collection agencies have a really negative reputation. And it's unfortunate, because what they do, they serve a really noble purpose in the industry and in the economy. And without them, you know, we wouldn't be able to get money or get loans if people don't hold people accountable for paying it back and working with them. You know, certainly all of us have had certain, you know, we go through ups and downs in life and things happen, but they're working with these folks and banks and servicing. They're trying to work with people to understand, okay, what are the circumstances? How can we work together and get you moved on from this? We're trying to help those who help others is something that I see as our purpose as well.
You mentioned some communities you're in, but in case someone's not in those, or they just want to follow you along and see 180 days and 270 days and the prodigal journey, where can folks find you online?
Yes, they can find me on LinkedIn. I post there on occasion at Jennifer Derishan, and you can see me at Prodigal there.
That's all for now. You can find show notes at introcrm.com/podcast. The theme music for Pipeline Meeting is by Neighborhood Vandal. If you learned something, consider sharing this show with a friend. Thanks for listening.